I'd like to invite you, if you would, please, to take your Bibles or take the pew Bible that's there in front of you, or open the app on your phone or your iPad, and we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and start with verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. If you use the pew Bible that is there, it's page 1088. We have a large number of our senior adults that went to Branson this past weekend together, and on their way back this morning, they're stopping near Little Rock, Arkansas to worship with Jason and Leah Campbell, so they're having church there. This is also the first weekend of the fall break for the schools around here, so we've got some families out for that. We need to be praying for those that are traveling, and I imagine next week's going to be the same. Some will have family come in, and some will go to family for Thanksgiving. And some ladies will probably be at home with their feet propped up, resting from a hard shopping weekend, or resting their fingers from shopping online. I don't know. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Okay, we're going to read it in a minute. Let me introduce it first. During this past year, we have been told that our nation of the United States is in a desperate situation, and so are the people. Politically, we've been talking a lot about war, especially with one country over there in Asia, just north of South Korea. I'll let you figure out what that one is, okay? Or about collusion. How many have heard the word collusion about 20 times this year? Yes. Economically, the Congress has been dealing with about taxes. One House passed something. We don't know if the other House will, but something about taxes or something about health care is supposed to be happening sometime soon. I'm still breathing every moment. I'm not holding my breath. Anybody else with me? We'll see what takes place. Socially, a lot of this last year, we've been talking a lot about gender and what that means and how it's reflected in different words and people's lives, especially over the last couple of weeks or so. Probably in the news, every 5 minutes there's a new person coming out and say they've been harassed in some way. Some of the stories are true, some of them are not, but that's been a part of what our nations has been dealing with in these last few days, and especially over the last year. We have heard about job creations this year, and that's good. We like to see jobs created. Stock market has increased and set several records. That's usually good for a lot of people, for businesses, corporations. We have been told that companies are refocusing on the United States and bringing their factories, business back to the States rather than overseas. There's been a lot of talk about new housing starts. I'm told here in DeSoto County that there aren't enough houses to be sold to people. So real estate people are working real hard to try to find a house for someone. And if you're selling one, you can make a little bit more money than maybe you could a couple years ago. So why don't we just all sell each other houses? We'll all end up rich, okay? Maybe that's the way it works. I don't know. And energy costs are skyrocketing. How many of you check the price of gasoline every day? I mean, it's like $1.97, then it goes up to $2.49, and everywhere in between, it's kind of hard to keep track of. But we are told that this Christmas shopping season will be one of the best ever. I know because I have an app on my phone that the Target store has already started their Black Friday sale about a month ago, all right? And so all of them are gearing up for that. And the problem is that with all of that stuff that we hear about and all of the shopping that's even starting on Thursdays now, on Thanksgiving Day, some people are going to jump right over Thanksgiving and miss it and get right into the shopping season so that they can miss Christmas too. Because Thanksgiving has become one of those confusing periods, a confusing holiday for Christians and for Americans. The day is supposed to be devoted to giving thanks, but it really has taken on a threefold or maybe even fourfold occasion for us. A lot of people, when you ask them, what's Thanksgiving about? They'll say, it's time to gather with family and friends. And Thanksgiving has become that, but there's something missing just in that saying. Some will say that Thanksgiving is about eating enough food to choke a hippopotamus, right? How many pieces of pie can you actually eat on one day before it begins to take hold of you? And you know what I mean. Third thing is people say it's just a day to kind of get ready, get a head start on the shopping weekend. And for all of us here in the South, it is a football day, right? We're waiting to see who beats who in football. So of all those choices, I guess the family gathering takes the prize, but even that leaves something to be desired when we say the word thanksgiving or giving thanks. There's something missing in all of our celebration of that. It's supposed to be a time when we remember our blessings. Anybody been blessed this last year? Okay, a few of you have. That's good, that's good. Take the risk, raise your hand, you know. A time for remembering how good God is. Anybody experienced the goodness of God this year? It's a time to be thankful for our blessings and not just for the turkey. Thanksgiving, we're missing it in America for what it's really supposed to be. The holiday of Thanksgiving in America originated with William Bradford. He came over on the Mayflower with the Pilgrims. He was elected governor of the Plymouth Colony in 1621. And despite a scant year of harvest that year, because they really didn't know how to live in the new weather, they didn't know how to plant the right crops in the soil that they were facing or dealing with. Despite that scant harvest, Governor Bradford designated a day for the colonists to offer their thanks to God. Now, we're told in history, I mean, I was when I was in grade school, that the Pilgrims were so grateful for the natives, what we used to call Indians, the Native Americans, that they really had Thanksgiving to let the Native Americans know how much they appreciated them. But I think there's something missing in that story of history. It's really that the Pilgrims took time out, despite the busy task of survival, all the losses and struggles that they had faced, they took time out to offer thanks to God himself for how he had blessed them in their journey and them establishing a new nation. First English settlers paused that time, that several days really, we're told, to feast together, to reflect, to pray, and dedicate themselves anew to God, to remember his faithfulness and say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. But for us today, unfortunately, it's about football and turkey. So Paul reminds us in this passage, I'm just going to read three really short verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, start with verse 16. The admonition Paul gives us about how important it is for Christians to have a heart of gratitude. He says in verse 16, rejoice always, pray constantly, and in verse 18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So I want to talk to you very simply. I don't write real highfalutin sermons. I don't understand highfalutin most of the time. Most other people don't either, so I try to keep them real simple. So here we go. Here's the first part. We're supposed to give thanks. When Americans consider Thanksgiving, most of the time we think about our feelings, a feeling of gratitude. But an emotional response is not enough. Now, maybe in America it is, but we are, as Christians, bound to God's Word, and God's Word teaches us there's something more about giving thanks than just having an emotional feeling. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when the Jewish worshiper was being thankful, it meant that they would go and offer a sacrifice. They would come to the temple. They would move toward God, not just having a feeling or a sensation. The word or the theme or the phrase of giving thanks was not just having a feeling inside, it was something that they acted out. Thanksgiving was a movement of some way. And a lot of times in America nowadays, in worship, we have missed that whole principle that worship is supposed to be a moving of sorts. For example, we've, over the last several months, been talking to you about the app emphasis, about trying to reduce and eliminate our debt. Some of you a couple weeks ago filled out a card and either put it in the offering plate or walked and laid it here on the Lord's Supper table. That is an act of movement. It was not just a giving by you thinking in your heart, yeah, I'm going to give something back to help with this project, but you actually made a commitment and you moved to do that. If you couldn't walk down here, I know some people can't do that, you gave it to a friend or you placed it in the offering plate. All of those were acts of movement in terms of your worship. Last week, I totally forgot to mention this, so we put it in your bulletin again, but I'm interested in you telling us your story. Last week, I preached the sermon, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So, and I want to hear you say so. If God's done something in your life, the answer to prayer, changed some things, moved you closer to Him, we'd like to hear those stories and be able to share those with one another at different times. Both of those are examples of how we actually move in worship. We act out what it means to worship. And giving thanks is one of those. It's not just to give thanks. Paul teaches us it is to be thankful and then to move to do something with it. Now this phrase, give thanks, is a command. It's an imperative. It involves respect and obedience and priority. It's not an option for the serious Christian. A Christian who is following after God, seeking to reflect the heart of God, is a Christian, is a person who has a heart of thanksgiving. It is a command, and it in the original Greek, it is in what is called the active present time. That means that it's not just something you do once, but it's something that you continue to do. So Christians are to nurture a heart of thanksgiving, have an attitude of thanksgiving, to keep on being thankful and demonstrate it in some way. It should flow naturally out of our lives. Everybody who's growing in Christ ought to be thankful in some ways. And it's important to give thanks. And Paul told us that the absence of giving thanks is an indication that we are sliding away from God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, for though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. In the New International Version, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. The absence of a heart, an attitude, an action of thanks is an indication that we're moving away from God. Now, it's pretty easy for me to be thankful for the things in my life. She's in the nursery this morning watching babies, but I have a wonderful wife. A lot of you don't know her, haven't taken time to get to know her maybe. She works for the city. She's a diligent employee. She likes people. She has a tender heart for prayer. She's always studying God's word. She has a posse of ladies here that take her to Chick-fil-A for lunch once a month, and they are her accountability partners. I also have two daughters, my daughter Stephanie, my daughter Hillary. I'm grateful for both, very proud of them. I like to watch them as they continue to mature and grow spiritually. And they are the kind of people that I like to hang around and be with most of the time. Okay? I enjoy their company. I also, in the last 5 years, have inherited a son-in-law. I've learned to trust him and respect him, enjoy being around him. When I first met him, I thought he was a little weird. His parents were missionaries in Africa, so he grew up in Africa. And his idea of things in America, there's a lot of things he hadn't experienced. One day, Stephanie took him in her car through a car wash. He's an engineering major at the time, and he sat in the car just totally amazed that such a thing existed because he had never seen one before. And he was super, super excited that the soap came out in colors. Wow, it's amazing. But along the way, we've indoctrinated him to the American way of life, and we love him. He's a great guy. And now I can tell you that without showing you pictures, we're not going to put them up on the projector or anything, the screen, I have three grandsons, Robert and Ryland and Reuben, and I enjoy them a lot. They were with us for a week, and just this morning about 9:30, they headed back to their new home in Knoxville, Tennessee, rather than Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They're about 5 or 6 hours away rather than 16, all right? I say 5 or 6 because Joyce gets there quicker than me. I love serving you as your pastor. This is a great church, great people here, and I am blessed to be with you. I've also, through the years, had some pretty great friends, people who've stood by me through all the challenges that I have faced in my life. All of us go through challenges, but it's great to have people who stay with you, walk through the journey with you, pray for you, undergird you, rather than run away when you have troubles. And I have friends who have stayed with me. I like to travel, so I've gotten to do a little bit through my life, not a lot, but that's been a blessing. My health has been pretty good most of my life, And one of the greatest joys of my life, you're all going to think this is silly, but I am owned by a dog that lets me act like the master sometimes. And I have to tell you that even though he's aging, we rescued Garth from the shelter because my daughter Stephanie had back surgery and wanted a little puppy. Hillary and I went to try to find one, and we found this scroungy old dog that was hacking and his hair falling out. And I said, I don't know if that's what Stephanie wants. And Hillary looked at him and said, I like him. I think he'd be great. And I said, all right, well, let's wait for Mom and Stephanie to meet us here, back here around lunchtime and see if they like him. So Hillary took Stephanie in to see this little dog. And before I could even say yes, no, or whatever, they had named him. They named him Garth, not after Garth Brooks, which would make common sense. They named him after Garth, that character from Wayne's World, because of the way his ears stuck out and stuff. But I love Garth. He's been a great joy to my life. Well, I'll stop there for now, but it is easy for me to find ways to be thankful. I am tremendously blessed. That does not mean that I've never faced some hardships in my life. I have walked through those with the Lord, but I am blessed nonetheless. During one Thanksgiving season, the family sat down at the table, looking at the holiday bird sitting there in the middle. From the oldest to the youngest, they had a habit, or they had a tradition that they'd start with the oldest and share why they were thankful and get down to the youngest. The youngest in the family was a 7-year-old boy, and they finally got down to him. He looked at the turkey, and he expressed his thanks to the turkey. Thank you, turkey. Right? He had said that although he had not tasted the turkey, he was sure the turkey would be good. And then he went all haywire. He began to thank the grocery store clerk because the clerk had checked the turkey out, sold it to the family. He thanked the grocery store people who put it in the cooler. He thanked the farmer who made the turkey fat. He thanked the man who made the feed so the farmer could make the turkey fat. He thanked the person who brought the turkey to the store. If you've ever prayed with a young person at the table, you know these kinds of things really happen. And in his mind, he traced that turkey from its origin to his plate and thanked everybody that he could think of. And at the end of it, he solemnly looked at his family and said, "Did I leave anybody out?" And his sarcastic older brother, who was embarrassed by all these things, looked at his little brother and said, "You left out God." Anybody imagine this happening at your house? He wasn't flustered at all. The younger boy said, "Well, I was about to get to him." Well, isn't God the person we ought to think about at Thanksgiving? Amen? Are we really going to get around to God this year? Or are we going to leave him out of the whole process? We're supposed to give thanks. The second thing that the scripture tells us is to give thanks in all circumstances or in everything. We should be thankful for every occasion, give thanks in everything or in all circumstances. But we're not commanded to give thanks for everything, just in connection with everything that happens. And no matter what happens or where you find yourself, you can still thank God. It's not because we're better than somebody else. It is a choice of our life, a choice of our heart. We are committed to the good habit of always being thankful for whatever comes our way. Not everything that happens is good, but Romans 8:28 teaches us a great principle, and that is that all things work together for the good of those who love God. I have gone through some times in my life, I know you have as well, and you thought, what in the world is God doing allowing this to take place in my life? But I am committed to being thankful for what God might be doing good in spite of all the circumstances around me. Once there was a poor rural family, and they had a little boy who had not started talking. The family didn't have a lot of financial resources to get him special care, so the problem went on for a long time. And one day the mother was making supper. She got kind of busy and distracted and lost her concentration, and she burned the meal. Well, she served the meal, and the little boy tasted it, and he hollered out, "I can't eat this. It's all burned." Shocked because he was talking, but happy because he was talking, the mother hugged the little boy and said, "Why haven't you been talking?" He said, "Up to now, everything's been okay." Well, sometimes that happens in life, doesn't it? My dilemma is that I'm admonished by Scripture to give thanks in all circumstances. I want you to just think about your life. Have you ever gone through a circumstance where it was difficult for you to be thankful in it? It happens to us. It doesn't mean I have to be thankful for all circumstances, just thankful in the circumstances. The bottom line is it's much harder to be thankful for or in a negative situation than when things are at their best. A week or so ago, I brought one of our young men down and asked you to pray for his family, his little brother that was needing a heart. I remember saying to you that day something like, for this family to be blessed with a miracle of a new heart, that meant some family was going to go through loss, and we should pray for both families. You remember me saying that? Well, I didn't know it at the time, but that reality took place and involved not only the family that we were praying for, but a family in our own congregation. We had a family that suffered a horrendous loss of a member of their family, but that heart has been given to this little boy who needs a heart. We have been told as of today that there is a match and the surgery should be taking place in the next day or two. So while we are praising God that he's given one family a miracle, we have to soften it with the sorrow that another family in our own congregation, I had no idea that that's how God would work this out, but a family in our own congregation is brokenhearted to have the loss, and yet the wisdom and generosity and care to give it to another person who can experience life. Circumstances can be joyful and miraculous and good, but at the same time, they may be filled with sorrow and loss and hurt. And in all circumstances, we are to be thankful. Paul never instructed the church to thank God for evil events, but to thank God that even in evil times and circumstances, our hope remains. That's why we are blessed. It is not just that we accept Christ as our Savior and we get baptized and man, we start trucking that life is always going to be great. It is that even when we face those difficult times and hard times and evil times and forces come against us, we have the hope that Jesus is still with us and our faith can remain. God continues his work in our lives no matter what the circumstances, and we can be thankful for God doing that. Give thanks in all circumstances, in everything. And then the verse tells us, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. I can tell you this, that everybody who's had a great year will most likely someday have a rather dry period when things are not so great. If you're on top of the mountain today, enjoy it while it lasts. You either just came out of a low period or you're headed toward one, right? We know that's the reality of life. How can I be thankful when somebody does me wrong? Anybody ever get mad about that? I am an emotional person. You know, I like to try to be in control of my emotions, but some of you are so good you can read my face. I don't like it. Stop it. But it happens. And there are some times when somebody does me wrong, I start wanting to be very angry, and I have to let God deal with me. What about when somebody loses their job or a friend turns on you? When a spouse changes what they mean by the word forever? When somebody is on the cell phone, drives through a stop sign, and demolishes your brand new car? Thank God in all circumstances. Yeah, right. When the doctor says that all that can be done has been done and you better start praying. When a child is hurt or a child disappoints the parent or their life is ended because of the horror of drugs, are we supposed to be thankful? Am I expected to be thankful in circumstances that break my heart? Yes. What is it that is God's will? Is it the circumstances? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God, the circumstance? Or is it to be thankful is God's will? And the way we read it from the original language, the emphasis is on give thanks, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks when? In all circumstances, for it is God's will for you. It's God's will that we be thankful. It's a lifestyle. And the lifestyle we choose, the choices we make, has little to do with the circumstances in our life. I learned a principle decades ago that has guided me in my life, and that is God is more concerned about what he's doing in your heart and life than he is with changing the circumstances around you. Otherwise, why would God send missionaries to places where they suffer, where they are antagonized, where they are persecuted? They're missionaries, for goodness sake. They have dedicated their lives to God. Shouldn't they be sent somewhere where everybody just falls at their feet waiting to trust in Jesus? But that's not the reality, because God's more concerned with what he's doing in your heart and life than he is with changing the circumstances around you. Why is it that a young person has to go through dating someone and falling in love and then their heart is broken? Why would God will for you to go through such a hard, difficult thing in your life? Because he's more concerned about changing your heart and changing you than he is with changing circumstances. Why should someone who's been faithful Christian all their life and they have given and served and prayed and come alongside other people in times of hurt, why should they have to go through a period of loss and perhaps terminal illness and facing death? Why? Because God wants to do something great in their heart and life despite their circumstances. Because it is God's will for us to give thanks. And it is a key to commitment, and it is a key to wholeness for us in life. Because if God uses everything to work together for our good, how can we not be thankful? When trials come and they move us toward deeper spiritual maturity, how can we not be grateful? Being a Christian is basically about being something different, amen? Not weird necessarily, not obnoxious necessarily, but to be different. That guy who is walking around with no connection with God, he can act any way he wants. But if you are a Christian, you are supposed to be different. Situations that leave the average Joe or Jane responding with unbridled sorrow or enormous anger or spiteful revenge, those same things must drive the person of faith back to his or her commitment. I almost don't even have to ask a person about where they are with God. I just watch what they go through and how they respond, and their fruit will reveal to me where their heart is. Amen? So will we trust God who is bigger than our circumstances? Or are we going to wrestle so that we can handle it, manipulate it, and force life to be the way we desire it to be? Is God only God when all is well? Or can God be trusted when life collapses in around us? You better ask yourself that question. God is God despite what circumstances we might have to go through. Mother Teresa, who many people read about her life and admire her, told a story in 1994 at the National Prayer Breakfast. It goes like this. One evening we went out and we picked up four people from the street. And one of them was in a most terrible condition. I told the sisters, you take care of the other three. I will take care of the one who looks worst. So I did for her all that my love could do. I put her in bed, and there was such a beautiful smile on her face. Thank you, she said, and she died. I could not help but examine my conscience before her. And I asked, what would I say if I were in her place? But my answer was very simple. I would have tried to draw a little attention to myself. I would have said, I'm hungry. I'm dying. I'm in pain. Or something. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love. And she died with a smile on her face. I'm choosing this year to be thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't find it easy to be thankful in all circumstances, but I'm not going to let my circumstances control my life. And with God's help, which I frequently must pray for. I choose to be thankful in all circumstances. But I will be most thankful for this. There was a young boy, me, when the Holy Spirit came to him and brought him to a place of commitment to God. That day I accepted what I had been told was true, that the sacrifice of Jesus would make the payment for my sins on the cross. I trusted in Jesus to save me from the life of slavery to sin and an eternity of separation from God. And I pledged that I would follow Jesus and with his help live my life for him and for his purposes. For that urging of the Holy Spirit, for that initiation of God to come and reach out to me, I am most thankful. Anybody with me? If you find yourself having trouble being thankful, perhaps you first need to examine your heart in relationship with God. Because only when you have received new life in Jesus can you be truly thankful in all things. Let me be clear as I conclude. There is no way that in and of yourself and by yourself and on your own strength that you can be thankful, give thanks in all circumstances. You will need God to give you the strength to be able to express thanks back to him in the midst of whatever you might be going through, because you have committed yourself to do so and determined that circumstances will not control you, but a grateful heart will. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you very simply today two things. If there's a person here today who has not committed their life to you, help them to have the courage to do just exactly that. If they know the truth, or if they need to ask some questions about it, give them courage to show that they are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit, urging them to come to Christ. And secondly, Heavenly Father, I pray for us as believers. Help us to be not more grateful just in the sense of a feeling, but more grateful in how we express it to you and to others around us. Help us to nurture, with the help of the Holy Spirit, a heart of gratitude for the things that people do for us, for the blessings you bring into our life, for the strength you give us to get up every morning, for the health that you give us and the healing when we are ill, for the sense to see life and be able to navigate through it with your guidance, to mature and to grow and to change and to become more like you year by year. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that are ours. And the things of this life that you give us along the way that bring us a happiness or a joy, we're grateful for those, Lord, but we know that that is not all that life is about. So help us to turn ourselves towards you, not just feeling it in our heart or the center of who we are, but finding a way to express it to you that, God, I'm so thankful for you saving me and guiding me and helping me and blessing me. Give us freedom to do that. Lord, help us as Christians to be different. While the rest of the world is going crazy over trying to get the best deal, pay the least amount of money they can for their turkey, see how many people they can gather around one table, I pray, Lord, that we will be different, to enjoy those things of family and life and giving gifts, but to do it with a humility and a gratitude. Help us be different. Help us be like Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand?